You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Mahoney, on the Black Coffee Channel.
September 16th, 2009, the hottest show in the diaspora. I want to talk about kinship systems and how they disrupt economic development, or how they are the basis of economic development, particularly in Africa. This is the basis of my new book that I'm already starting to work on. But let me read your comments and then I'll get into what's going on in Rwanda. Okay, I'm a little bit backed up. So here we go. LA's off from Brooklyn says, Cedric, could it be that Oprah does not want to pull another Arsenio Hall by bringing on her show the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? Mike Millions, the great Mike Millions from NYC, he says, peace said, I agree with you about Shark Tank. The show is off the hook in terms of business education and how to be prepared. Okay, now Rod Guignard from Culver City, California, one of the best that ever did it on this show, one of the Black Coffee Channel commentators, he is anti-Twitter. We barely got him on Facebook. He is resisting following me on Twitter. He writes, the problem with following Twitter and watching Shark Tank is just that. It becomes too cumbersome to pay attention to the PC and the television program. Your opinion matters, Cedric, but I can't wait until the TV program is over to catch up. Instant information to, from, and about the world can wait. I am not going to fall prey to thinking I need to be informed about everything instantaneously. I am trying to set my own pace and be the tortoise in the race with the jackrabbit. I understand how young folk need to text and receive text, view TV on the PC as well as the cell phone, all in the name of being a 21st century juggernaut. I will pass. Rod Guignard would not even follow me on Twitter. I had one friend, she told me, I don't like Twitter because I don't like the concept of following anyone. But Rod says, I do watch the show Shark Tank, and I think it has a broader usage than the obvious entertainment value. For sure, it can be academic fodder. Glenn from Philly. He says that the Energy Bar entrepreneur, or Element Bar entrepreneur, had great knowledge and confidence in his product, the operational process in the industry, and almost more importantly, himself. Yes, amen. And Mike Millions from NYC, he says, peace said, in regards to Shark Tank, this is why I listen to your show, and I cannot wait for your book to come out so I can rock negotiations like Jonathan. That's right. Jonathan, the entrepreneur, put it on. Total domination mode. Yeah, this is the score to the movie Bourne Ultimatum. Underneath my voice, are you getting scared? Only I do this. Yeah. Who's that? Matt Damon? Who's Bourne? It's Matt Damon, right? Now I get my white actors mixed up. Yeah, this is Bourne Ultimatum movie score on the Cedric Mahoney Black Coffee program. Let me zone out. Get scared. They're coming to get me. See, when I go out, if I have to go out on air, this is the music I want playing. Bourne Ultimatum. Bourne Supremacy. I get mixed up. Which one? Uh-oh. You gotta love it. Only I will do that. Let's get geopolitical real quick. Let me hit you with let's do a little roundtable of African news. This is what's going on the continent. It's very important, by the way. My next book is on this subject, based upon my participation in the first Congress of African Economists with the African Union. Very excited about this book, which I hope will be out in January. My book on the United States of Africa and my perspective on how it could best be put together. I think you all will enjoy. If I execute it the way I have it in mind, I think you will enjoy it. Okay, let's go to Africa real quick. Oh, you know what? Let me check this out real quick.
Each year, Europe takes in 50,000 so-called seasonal agricultural workers from other continents. 4,000 of them head to the Bouches-du-Rhône region in southern France. Mustafa comes from Morocco.
I've been working here over the last 6 years to help feed my family.
Migrant workers, this is going to be a big issue. It's a huge issue in Europe. African immigrants. Also, some African immigrants were just found off the coast of Costa Rica. Costa Rica? Why would Africans be coming to Costa Rica? This is really the root of globalization. Migrant workers from Africa found in Costa Rica. What is that all about? Why each year are there 40,000 workers from Guatemala that are given visas to work in Mexico to pick fruit? Yeah, the same argument that Americans use against Mexican immigrants, Mexico uses against Guatemalan immigrants. Doing jobs that supposedly other Mexicans won't do. 40,000 each year to pick fruit. Okay, back to Europe.
I collect up salad plants, work on the soil, plant tomatoes, and pick melons.
Contracts for work like this last 6 months. Until 2007, workers could extend for an additional 8 weeks. With that option no longer available, Mustafa's employers, the Rondo family, tried to offer him a permanent contract. But local authorities refused him the right to stay.
We need these workers. We've always taken on people from North Africa, Algerians, Moroccans, and Tunisians. If the authorities want to put a stop to it, we'll have to look elsewhere.
This is France. Northern African migrant workers in France.
They can't just leave us with these contracts of 6 months, maybe one day 4 months. We'll end up high and dry.
When Mustafa's contract is up, he has 8 days to return to Morocco. Not all employers are as reliable as the Randos. Some have no qualms about exploiting cheap workers who have few rights. This situation of virtual slavery led to a strike in 2005. Of the 100 workers who downed tools then, only 7 were able to secure a contract the following year. After years of stalling, Europe has decided to address the problem.
The European Parliament worked on this issue at the start of the decade, but since then there's been nothing. So now we're waiting for a directive securing for these people the right to work and the right to move freely. But most importantly, the right to leave and return.
Rights which it's hoped will remove the temptation for employees to stay on illegally after their contracts expire. In the meantime, workers rely on organizations like Codatras for help. The goal to secure a permanent titre de séjour, the document which, like green cards in the US, secures the right to stay in the country.
With the titre de séjour, I'm no longer forced to return home when my contract is over. I no longer have to worry about whether I can come back next year, and I'm no longer bound to my employer.
As workers await the European directive, the fight to resolve their situation goes on.
We let them into the country as seasonal workers, but that's not what they actually do. We need their real legal situation to be acknowledged. They're permanent workers and they should be recognized as such.
Of 1,000 cases studied so far, the authorities have issued 500 permanent titres de séjour.
This is the worldwide hustle, getting immigrant workers or actually sending them because of the remittances, the money that people send back home when they go and work abroad. If you want to know more about this, look at Tito in Yugoslavia, not just Mexico, but Tito. This is a big thing in Eastern Europe. Government's actually encouraging this. This is not just something limited to the Americas. Here's a roundup of news in Africa. Listen carefully. It's about to dovetail with my rant on why kinship systems, gangs, religious groups, racial groups, ethnic groups, and tribes dominate on-the-ground economic realities in Africa, frustrating every form of development that the West tries to bring. Border disputes. Colonialism, to a degree, was ended, but not imperialism. I get into that in my book. Very important concept to understand if you're trying to figure out why Africa cannot grow economically. There's a difference between development and independence.
Officials in Costa Rica have detained 54 U.S.-bound migrants from Africa and Nepal from a rusty boat. Now, authorities are treating some of the migrants for dehydration after several days at sea. Now, three suspected Colombian smugglers who were traveling with them have also been detained.
The boat was in poor condition, and many of the migrants, including seven women, complained they had not eaten anything for several days. They received medical attention at the Red Cross in the Limon province.
My name is Bhagwan Jangrana. I am from Nepal. First, I left my country because in my country there is very problem. The main problem is the Maoist. There is a terrorist. So I cannot live in my country. So I left my country and I went to India.
The security minister released a statement quoting another migrant as saying he left Nepal for India, where he stayed a month before heading to South Africa. From there, he caught the boat, promising to take him to the United States. Migration authorities said the seven women and 47 men would be taken to a detention center in San Jose to join 41 other migrants from Eritrea, Ethiopia, Somalia, and Guinea, detained in June and July on Costa Rica's Caribbean coast.
U.S. forces believe they may have killed a senior al-Qaeda figure in a helicopter strike against militants in Somalia. Now, the attack is believed to have killed Kenyan-born Saleh Ali Naban.
The 28-year-old Ali Naban is one of the most wanted men in East Africa. He is suspected of involvement in the 1998 bombing of the U.S. Embassy in Kenya and the 2002 attack against a Kenyan hotel used mainly by Israeli tourists. The U.S. forces reportedly targeted a car traveling in southern Somalia. Ali Naban is part of the Islamist insurgents group Al-Shabaab, an Al-Qaeda affiliate. Reports say his body is now in the U.S. custody. The U.S. has also carried out previous airstrikes aimed at taking out top Al-Shabaab militants. Witnesses claim that they saw troops wearing French insignia attack a vehicle carrying Al-Shabaab fighters in the coastal town of Barawe. French military officials have denied any involvement in the raid, saying that the only forces in the area were there to prevent acts of piracy in the Gulf of Aden. Somalia has been embroiled in chaos since 1991 ouster of dictator Mohamed Said Barre. More than 250,000 people have fled renewed fighting in Mogadishu since May, bringing the total number of displaced within Somalia to over 1.5 million. More than 18,000 have died since the insurgents began, and over half of Somali population are now dependent on food aid due to the conflict and drought.
A senior official from the UN mission in Sudan has called for preparations to be accelerated to ensure a free and fair referendum on the independence of South Sudan. Now, speaking to journalists in New York via teleconference from Addis Ababa, the UN regional coordinator for South Sudan, David Gressley, called for swift action in the implementation of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, which provides a timetable for the referendum.
It's a poll that will decide the future of Sudan, but the process is slow and arduous.
Much work needs to be done on many fronts, on the political front, to complete the CPA milestones, but also internally within the South in terms of the development of institutions. The South has a very new government. They really had no government when they started in 2005 and have built everything from scratch.
The world's largest ever disarmament, demobilization and reintegration program is currently underway in Sudan after a two-decade-long civil war that claimed 2 million lives. But pockets of ethnic violence continue, particularly in the south.
So many of these conflicts have a very local origin, generally over land boundaries, who controls the resources within those boundaries, is that a large number of civilians have been targeted and killed.
Presidential and parliamentary elections set for April next year are likely to further intensify the political atmosphere.
Neither side seems to want a renewed conflict. And I think there is room for accommodation for either outcome of the referendum, and there's still space and time for that. But it will require hard decisions in the very near future on how to come to that final accommodation.
Accommodation for a united Sudan or two countries living side by side.
Removing obstacles to the full implementation of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement is key. It remains the main building block for next year's election and a subsequent referendum now scheduled for March 2011. Sherwin Brycebees, SABC News, outside the UN.
Rwanda is well into preparations to officially register land ownership from next year. It's an historic process for a country trying to heal the scars of a 1994 genocide, with disputes over land rights being one of the major causes of the bloodshed.
Rwanda's National Land Center has been tasked to recruit volunteer committees to investigate local land claims over the next 2 years. The center has already begun trials to map and register some land plots, but mass registrations all over the country will begin in earnest in January. They will use satellites to draw up comprehensive and land tenure maps for the whole country. Landowners will be fully involved in the project. The majority of the country's 9 million population lives in small holdings and mostly practices subsistence farming, which puts a strain on space and resources. Official title deeds will help landowners to prove their ownership, paving the way for them to raise loans more easily, to buy cattle and seeds, and to rebuild their homes destroyed in years of conflict. Owners have happily welcomed the move, saying the aerial pictures taken by land surveyors clearly demarcates their land boundaries.
We hope that by registering land in Rwanda, we'll ensure tenure security. We'll ensure tenure security so that every Rwandan can live and use his land in security. With that security, we hope it can promote investment and can also assist in proper utilization of land.
The government has put in place measures to avoid any further disputes over land claims. Maps will be published, and locals will have 1 month to raise any concerns. A public hearing will weigh up conflicting claims. The government project is set to finish in 2014 at an estimated cost of $22.8 million.
Now that's big. That last story about Rwanda, what they're doing is they're trying to define property rights with a communal process where the community in Africa, in Rwanda, has a say-so and can claim land that was stolen or during the fighting, the civil war in Rwanda, Hutu and Tutsi. That's big. They want to resolve that and have an agreed-upon map of all of the land and who owns it, so that people can use their land as collateral to get loans. That's what the gentleman meant by security at the end of that story. Land, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, more wars have been fought. He wrote this in 1960. More wars have been fought over land than any other reason. Not religion, but land. More wars have been fought over land than any other reason. This is one of the reasons why. Because you can use land not just to grow, feed yourself, support yourself, food, clothing, and shelter, but also because you can use land as collateral. When blacks came out of slavery, they were denied that form of capital. So in my book, I somewhat liken the current environment to what was experienced by entrepreneurs that were black by necessity coming out of slavery. They had no land, no collateral, no bank loan, no revenue. That's the subtitle to my book, The Entrepreneurial Secret. So in Rwanda, they're trying to determine who owns what so that people can go and get loans or pledge it as security. Livestock, crops, very important. Big project. I get into this in my book, the different forms of capital. If Africa is going to grow and develop, though, it's going to have to move beyond land as the primary form of collateral for loans or security in economic transactions. So let me take this a little further. Let's get into the power of tribe. Some of you may have heard about the quote-unquote riots in Uganda. The president and the leader of Uganda is very powerful, but there's also another individual very powerful, the king of the Buganda tribe, the Buganda people. We'll go to Ghana next. Listen up.
And Ugandan police have arrested more than 600 people in connection with 2 days of riots that left 14 people dead and scores injured in the capital, Kampala. Now, security forces are on high alert on the streets of the capital as the traditional Buganda kingdom at the center of the unrest seeks to calm the situation.
The violence erupted on Thursday last week when police clashed with supporters of the traditional ruler of the Buganda. The unrest was...
Look, this is no joke. Some people's fascination with the mafia or the mob or gangs or gang leaders is related to this. The shot, a big time shot caller, the followers of his were, what would you say, they're fighting the government. The traditional leader of the Buganda people in Uganda. Now, I'll get a little bit more into this about how the British used the Buganda tribe to divide and conquer the people in Uganda. And it has caused a problem that affects the tax structure of Uganda to this day. But look at how powerful the traditional leader of the Buganda people is.
Triggered by a government attempt to prevent the politically influential traditional ruler of the Buganda people from attending a youth festival for fear it might provoke violence. Police say those detained include the rioters responsible for an attack on a police station in which 28 vehicles were torched. They will appear in court today on charges of engaging in violent acts and involvement in illegal assemblies. Kam appeared to return to Kampala on Sunday as shops reopened and residents ventured into the streets amid police and military patrols. The leader of the Buganda kingdom in Uganda is now said to be ready to meet with President Yoweri Museveni to discuss the controversy.
Look, straight up, the leader of the Buganda people, he gets an audience with the president. He's not no governor, he's not no congressperson, he's not no elected official. That's power. The people are with him. And the president has to respond.
That led to the protests, a move welcomed by the government.
Of Mengo will also respond to the overtures that have come from the central government. Obviously, we were gratified to learn that His Highness, the Kabaka of Buganda.
Look, man, this is a government official spokesman saying we are happy and fortunate that His Highness has agreed to meet with President Museveni. These are real shot callers.
He's now prepared to sit down with His Excellency the President and they talk.
Crackdown on riots has drawn criticism from an influential rights group. Human Rights Watch has described the police's response as unwarranted.
We're very concerned about the use of torture and illegal detention here in Uganda. It's been a concern of ours for many years that the police, the military, and these ad hoc, unconstitutional security units employ torture and then put people into places that are not actually legal detention cells. In those places, people can be beaten, strangled, whipped. We've documented this.
Human Rights Watch said it had received reports of police going house to house and removing people from their homes and witnessed truckloads of unarmed men being beaten.
Look, man, with all due respect for Human Rights Watch, some Caucasians that's getting involved in Ugandan affairs, all due respect, I understand you got your self-enlightened interest. Until the Bugandan traditional leader says it's real, none of your stuff is going to go. This is the problem that America ran into in Iraq that you all know about. The sheikhs, the mullahs, the clans, the tribes, they got the power. Now, let me go to Ghana on you real quick. Let me show you how powerful the traditional leaders are in Ghana. This is why I'm going to be honest. I laugh sometimes when I hear economists talk about how they're going to fix this in Africa. They come with very westernized approaches. And some of that stuff will work. But the real power in Africa is with the tribal, traditional, kinship-oriented leader, gangs. In Kenya, a lot of the gangs on the street, have a lot of power. That's why I love my brothers here who are involved in gangs that are trying to do better. You all got no power. You shoot up stuff, you mess up. You ain't got no power like a traditional king or a power broker in Africa does, or a mafia. All y'all shouting out mafiosa and all of that. You ain't got no power compared to the kinship system leaders in Jamaican culture or West African culture or Italian culture or Chinese culture or Korean culture. Stop it. Let's go to the Ashanti Kingdom in Ghana to hear about some more juice at a tribal level.
The West African country of Ghana, the first African country our first African-American president visited earlier this year. Ghana is an increasingly modern society, but some old ways endure. The country's largest tribe, the Ashanti, still have their own king. And when an important anniversary occurred recently, the king-sized celebrations began.
About 250 kilometers north of Accra, members of Ghana's Ashanti community have come out in large numbers to pay homage to their king in Kumasi town. It's been a decade since Otomfo Saitutu II took over as traditional ruler and spiritual leader of the Ashantis, so the country's largest community has reason to celebrate. Adorned in gold ornament, Otomfo is carried shoulder high. His entourage makes its way to Baba Yara Sports Stadium for the day's celebrations. Girls from the royal palace use fly whisks to chase away evil spirits that might be in the area. Otomfo is said to be a modern monarch who encourages use of the internet, advocates for better education in schools, and has helped tackle poverty.
Did you all hear that? The tribal leader is calling for use of the internet. Stop all these lies that people in Africa are running around like savages. The Ashanti King wants people to use the internet.
In the region, he's also credited for attracting investors to the country. Ghana's President John Atta Mills was among local and international dignitaries who came to acknowledge the king's efforts.
Again, the president of an African country in Ghana came to honor the tribal king. This is just like what's happening in Uganda. President Museveni is going to meet with the Buganda tribal leader, traditional leader. And in Ghana, the leader of the country comes to pay respect to the tribal leader.
Professor Kwabena Nketia is the director of the Institute of African Studies at the University of Ghana. We asked him how relevant the Ashanti King is today.
And, you know, there are many modern things that he does which please me, because he has adjusted himself to the changing circumstances of our country. And in fact, it is showing all us how to change and to culture so that we preserve our identity while at the same time looking forward to, you know, being a part of a world community in which many things are happening.
The Ashanti King's anniversary celebrations lasted 40 days and included the launch of a charity to help underprivileged children go to school.
The establishment of a foundation today is not by accident. This is part of a carefully orchestrated agenda of His Majesty to ensure that under his leadership, the Ashanti Kingdom does not just become a relic of the past, but seeks to enter the future with modern technology and developmental gains.
Across Africa, many communities have abandoned their cultural practices, but most Ashantis expect their king to preserve their heritage and achieve even more for the kingdom as he leads them in these modern times.
And that story from our partner in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa 24.
September 16th, 2009. I'm looking at something else. All right, folks. Now, look, I mean, all due respect to the brothers and sisters on the block, you know, Frank Lucas style or whatever, you holding it down. Guy Fisher, come on, man. You really want to look at some people who are representing for their people? You have to look at some of these traditional leaders or ethnic leaders among immigrant communities. That's who you should be looking at. Not just the mafia or the Italian version of it, but the Chinese have it. The Irish have it. The Jamaicans have it. The Africans have it. Now, the most profound statement about the real power of these kinship groups or systems as it relates to African countries came from the man who you see on the screen there, the beautiful one, the minister, in a speech called The Birth of the African Union in 2001. July of 2001. Here's what the minister said about the reality of African leaders. You want to know why President Museveni is going to meet with the Bugandan tribal leader? You want to know why John Anta Mills of Ghana is going to honor the tribal leader or the Ashanti king? Listen to this. Here's what the minister said, 2001. The African leaders have a great responsibility, though many of these leaders are former military men who fought in the liberation struggle of their people. Now, each of these leaders must become a teacher of profound magnitude in order for the African Union to become a reality. Each leader and teacher must recognize that their frail political reality is based upon a tribal, ethnic, religious, and racial reality that can become very unstable. The minister continues, if these tribal, ethnic, religious, and racial realities in the nations of Africa become unstable and these divisions are exploited by outside forces, it can have the effect of an earthquake, which topples powerful buildings. Likewise, these frail political realities can come tumbling down. There is an answer and solution to these problems of ethnic, tribal, religious, and racial differences that are found in the scriptures, in both the Bible and the Quran. If the leaders are unaware of these solutions and or ignorant of how to utilize these solutions that have already been given to these problems, then the African Union and its success is as far away from us as we are far away from the understanding of the solutions to these problems that are already given in the wise revelations of Allah God through the mouths of the prophets, his prophets. See, any one of these really powerful ethnic, tribal, religious, or racial leaders, even of some of the gangs in Africa, could overthrow or cost one of these leaders an election. That's real power. That's food for thought. I'll let you all let that marinate for a minute. Next hour, album review. Shala Raekwon, the chef. Only built for Cuban Links 2. Is it a classic or is it just a good album? I will offer my 2 cents next hour. If you remember the Purple Tape from 14 years ago, the classic album Only Built for Cuban Links 1. And if you just an observer to hip hop and you don't really know who's who, what's what, you'll enjoy next hour. We're going to talk about one of the most respected artists with commercial success, but for some reason is not really held up as a big rap star except for the initiated. In some respects, he's kind of like a boxer's boxer, Raekwon, a rapper's rapper. We'll be right back. September 16th, CedricMuhammad.com, BlackElectorate.com, BlackCoffeeChannel.com. Everybody, look up on your screen. Look up on your screen. This is why I love Glenn from Philly. By the way, Glenn from Philly was the only male that actually checked on me wondering if something was wrong. In addition to having business that he wanted to discuss, I had, I think it was five women check on me, and one male, Glenn from Philly. But Glenn from Philly just asked a incredible question. He says, "Peace," said. And by the way, that is the universal greeting. "Peace," said. Call me said, C-E-D. He says, "Peace," said, "does Raekwon equal Marvin Hagler?" Ooh. There's a picture of Marvin Hagler right there. Raekwon, to me, is a rapper's rapper. Marvin Hagler is a boxer's boxer, meaning that other boxers appreciate him more than the general public does. Maybe the same with Raekwon to a degree. Next hour, we're going to review Only Built for Cuban Links 2. Is it a classic or just a good album? Has Raekwon, is he the one that has brought Northeast New York East Coast rap back? This is the 1 year anniversary of the fall of Lehman Brothers, as well as the probably one of the most dramatic weeks in the history of banking. I caught Rick Santelli of CNBC getting real agitated yesterday. You all know who Rick Santelli is, right? I like most of what Rick Santelli had to say. But let me just say this for the record. I'm deeply disappointed in how many of us responded to that crisis. There was a perfect opportunity for us to pool these declining dollars together. Some of us became even worse beggars than ever before. More dependent, more Lazarus-like. Here's Rick Santelli, keeping it about 90% yesterday.
I think this one-year anniversary is great, but I think it's great for another reason. I think someday we'll learn that we didn't need to do very much, that time heals all wounds, and you don't have to go broke in the process.
We just had a guy here from the street
who you had.
Dramatically disagrees with you, Rick.
Good, who cares? The whole government probably disagrees, the Treasury disagrees, but we can't audit them. I still don't know the breadth, size, and dollar amounts of toxic derivatives. Sham, irresponsible, it's horrible.
So
where have we come?
It would have been okay.
We fixed all the banks.
That's
and
what
people
I never know.
Still can't get loans. Okay, I'm done. Now you can give me all the propaganda.
Woo! Rick Santelli, I might have to put the fire trucks on you. My book is coming out soon. It is called The Entrepreneurial Secret to Starting a Business Without a Bank Loan, Collateral, or Revenue. Rick Santelli hit it on the head. You still can't get a bank loan for your business. How the hell is this a recovery? I already hear they saying the recession is over. Is it really? Try to go get a startup financed. Rick Santelli again from the top, my brother.
I think this one-year anniversary is great, but I think it's great for another reason. I think someday we'll learn that we didn't need to do very much, that time heals all wounds, and you don't have to go broke in the process.
We just had a guy here from the street
who you had.
Dramatically disagrees with you, Rick.
Good, who cares? The whole government probably disagrees, the Treasury disagrees, but we can't audit them. I still don't know the breadth, size, and dollar amounts of toxic derivatives. Sham, irresponsible, it's horrible.
Where have we come? It would have been okay.
We fixed all the banks
That's
and people still can't get loans. Okay, I'm done. Now you can give me all the propaganda.
No, not propaganda, Rick. It's okay that no banks would trade with each other. What we just had somebody say here.
You know what? I don't think they were worth saving, Joe and Steve. What did we save? What do we know today? Steve, how much the city, who has $301 billion of guarantees,
right,
how many toxic derivatives do they have, buddy?
I don't know the answer to that. We know that there's some hundreds of...
Secretary Geithner.
We know there's several hundreds of billions that are guaranteed by the government. Thinking was that if Citigroup went down, the entire financial system would have...
Yeah, just like if Lehman went down, the sun didn't come up. Guess what? It's come up 366 days in a row.
66. Interesting number. Rick, I just want to be clear. So what you're saying is it would have been okay to have the whole thing freeze up, to not have any banks fund or collateralize or otherwise repo with all the other banks, your markets would have been okay.
What I said is most of what they did was the same thing. It was papering up a situation in the darkest of times where they're going to claim that the credit crisis is fixed and over, as the current administration does many times.
I don't
times.
Think they're doing that, Rick. If you heard what Geithner said the other night, he thinks we're a long way from mission accomplished, Rick.
What did you hear?
Did you wake up on a... Do you have a bad weekend, Rick?
Monday.
No, not a... You know what? I did have
a bad weekend. Why?
You know why I had a bad weekend?
Chicago lost.
Because it's 1 year ago today.
Lost.
I could see that the philosophical issues of those who lead us isn't in lockstep with those who put them there, and probably that will change.
Rick, were you in Washington at some of the demonstrations this weekend
what
on Saturday?
What demonstrations? I watched network news. I didn't see any. What demonstrations are you talking about?
The one in Minneapolis where they had 1,400 people. That's the one.
I heard there was 300 protesters outside, too. I didn't see them on the news. Did you?
So I guess you weren't there. Okay, Steve. Rick, it's good seeing you as always.
Yeah. As somebody that knows this is a charade. He's not right 100% of the time. But I love President Barack Obama. I may mention this next week on the panel at George Mason University, September 22nd, Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. I'll be on a panel talking about three different views of President Obama. Banks are fixed, but they're not lending. That's why I will not be paying $54, and there will be a whole nation of us that will not pay $54 for Juan Manuel Marquez and Floyd Mayweather. I'm willing to pay $10 at the most. I'll go somewhere and watch the fight with a group of people. I'll put up $5 to $10. Marquez Mayweather.
A boxing firestorm is spreading as six-time world champion Floyd Mayweather prepares to defend his undefeated record against five-time world champion Juan Manuel Marquez. Now the two trained in Los Angeles ahead of their Saturday bout in Las Vegas.
Mayweather has won all 39 of his career bouts, including 25 by knockout, but the American will be making his first appearance.
Okay, hold on. Look up on the screen. Some of you all want to know what that is. I'm not being vulgar. I'm not being graphic, but purportedly, allegedly, Floyd Money Mayweather's opponent, Juan Manuel Marquez, drinks his own urine in order to preserve vital nutrients and minerals. That's a picture of him with a cup of urine, according to HBO. I watched it. I didn't see him drink it completely, but they show him going in the bathroom and he comes out with the glass. This could be a psychological maneuver. If you want to look at your screen, that's a cup of urine. Juan Manuel Marquez. And this is being broadcast on 24/7 HBO.
The ring, after absence of almost 2 years, and takes on Marquez, a Mexican native. Marquez is backed by one of boxing's biggest names, Oscar De La Hoya, who says he thinks he can take Mayweather down.
It's a huge fight for all of Mexico. It's a huge fight for all the Mexicans that are here in the United States. It's a big celebration.
As for Mayweather, he has not fought since his 10th round stoppage of Britain's Ricky Hatton in a WBC welterweight title bout in December 2007.
Like I said before, he's a tough guy, and he's going to bring his best. And, like I said before, every fighter that they put in front of me, they all had the same game plan. And if he got the same game plan, then he's going to come up short.
Saturday's match will be held at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
Big fight Saturday night between Floyd Money Mayweather and Juan Manuel Marquez. Tuesday, both gathered in Las Vegas for a photo op. Mayweather, who hasn't fought in almost 2 years, puts his undefeated record and maybe legacy on the line. Luckily, he's wearing acid wash.
I feel good. You know, I've been here before. I know what it takes. I mean, I'm happy. Great turnout. My team is ready. And September 19th, another big day for me.
It's going to be a tremendous fight. The atmosphere is great. It's only Tuesday, and you have all these people waiting for the fighters. So it's a great sign that the fight is going to be an excellent one.
I miss the whole boxing atmosphere. Without the fans, you know, without the fans all around the world, man, I don't know where, you know, Floyd Mayweather will be. But Las Vegas, Nevada, and all the great cities around the world, all the great countries supporting me. I just continue to work hard and just be the best that I can be.
Hard work, dedication, that's what Money May says. Fight prediction. I think there will be ring rust. I can tell you on good authority, Mayweather's ribs were hurt during a sparring session. They are tender still. There will be ring rust. Money May will be very defensive, I believe, at first. And get it together. I think 8 rounds. I think Mayweather stops him in 8 rounds. If you have a fight prediction, anyone thinks Marquez will win, if you're impressed by this man drinking urine, his own urine, let me know. Go tell somebody. Hour number 4 is about to begin. We're going to review Raekwon's album, Only Built for Cuban Links 2. I'm going to share some Wu-Tang anecdotes I've never mentioned before in public. I'm not a, I don't dry snitch. I'll give you a couple of details why I respect Raekwon. He's unique. Is this album a classic, though? Or is it just good? Is Raekwon what people are saying? The man who's bringing back New York rap? Yeah, I got movie scores underneath my voice. Are you getting scared? Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, CedricMuhammad.com.
Cedric Muhammad. Sobering, stimulating, and hot. It's the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Because he shut himself off from the world, they called him hostile. They said he was unfeeling and called him callous. But he was not hard of heart. It is the finest blades that are most easily blunted, bent, or broken. He withdrew from his fellow man after he had given them everything and had received nothing in return. He lived alone because he found no second self.
Muhammad. The internet, terrestrial, and satellite radio. The platform revolution continues. The Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program. Cedric Muhammad. The most eclectic audience on radio, only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program. Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad. Cyberspace in the Garden of Black Universalism, Mr. Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad. You are listening to the hottest show in the diaspora, the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Cedric Muhammad. The most eclectic audience on radio, only on the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program. Cedric Muhammad.
Maintaining, you know? You good, right? Anything proper still, right? Come on, man. What's the matter with you, man? Ain't nothing. Just want us to be on.
Tell a friend, it's that symbol again. That W coming through. Put on your block, give me a suit. Get it right. All my chicks on you, let's get it in. All my take a, let it begin.
Here we go.
Yo, y'all already know what it do. Brand new, back from the slums, it be the whoop.
Throw your dub, throw your sub.
Back from the slums, it be the whoop.
Love to dress a lab, get rock, 100. Black do-rags, ski masks on G-Wags. Don't try to take pictures, lax still in the grass. You'll learn respect, first when I ask. Rhyme master, busy, wizzy on the subject. Love deck, thug battle, best snub sets. Iller than most, nighttime totes. Gorillas in boats, three votes. Villas is flip no top.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Move like 91 Romans, cloning everything. Gents only, the rents on the stove, I'm in Rome. Maxed out, annexed out, my team. Bandits, make a move and get off the planet, baby. Hold that cannon. Just understand, we got the whole padlock down. Won't
tell
have
a friend,
it.
It's that symbol again. That W coming through. Put on your block, give me a suit. Get it right. All my chicks on you, let's get it in. All my take a, let it begin.
Here we go.
Yo, y'all already know what it do. Brand new, back from the slums, it be the whoop.
Throw your dub, throw your sub.
Yeah.
Hey yo, jumping out of Benz wagons. My family live in the hill. They call us Ben Laddins. Laughing, turbaned up. These streets is like radio beat. So watch out, the kid, turn it up. Bulletproof tuxes, knuckle games, is clobbering busters. 18, bringing the ruckus. Flamethrowers on our backs and shoulders. The rusty joints still work. The tray ain't a blow. One of your donuts. When it's mad heat, a mad calm. Walk around, go collect 36 over 4G ball. My inner strength flowing, I master G Kong. That planet of the ape standing next to King Kong. Forensic foul, ultraviolet hype, sky blue bows. Link like ceramic towel. I'm like Earl, like a beast and at the top of the pal. Need damn, I'm foul.
Tell a friend, it's that symbol again. That W coming through. Put on your block, give me a suit. Get it right. All my chicks on you, let's get it in. All my take a, let it begin.
Here we go.
Yo, y'all already know what it do. Brand new. Back from the slums, it be the whoop.
Now throw your dub, throw your sub.
Yo, back from the slums, it be the whoop.
We blow money, got game, hungry, we pop things. Look for me, grabs in my pocket, chef, cook for me. Blue magic, I'm dope, but on the humble, I'm a good dude. Don't shortchange me, see that's a hood rule. Drinking Cuban Lincoln, new way of thinking, got me thinking, man. Break the handcuffs, run out the precinct, this is hard. Body hard knocks, if you pushing that hard rock, then let the go off top. We rock fitted, drop kitted, I live it if not quit it. I pinch it, my pop sniffed it, me business, I'm not finished. I'm too hot with it, you the plot thinking, the Glock spitting, don't stop snitching. This what the block missing, the two-seater with the top missing, and two divas with the tops missing. That ass living to me, I'm what these kids is killing to be, but I don't want my children to be.
Tell a friend, it's that symbol again, that W coming through. Put on your block, give me a suit, get it right. All my chicks on you, let's get it in, all my take a, let it be.
Go.
Yo, y'all already know what it do. Brand new, back from the slums, it be the
whoop. Yo, you up.
Back from the slums, it be the whoop.
Ooh. Okay. If you heard the album, I want to hear from you. If you heard the album, I want to hear from you. You're going to go through several of the tracks, if not the whole album, briefly. But I wanted to state something early on about my relationship with Raekwon, just brief. I don't like the name drop, not into that. But I want to say something about Ray because it's important. Because it's 14 years ago. Can you believe that? 14 years, right? since Only Built for Cuba Link's first album came out. That's the album cover on the screen right there. When I met Raekwon, first conversation I had with Ray, he was stuck at 900,000 units. That's how many albums he had sold already. 900,000. This was in 96. When we were right in front of the Wu-Tang management offices at Bay Street, Staten Island. And first conversation we had was about business. Raekwon should have been platinum, but he wasn't. And it had to do with the label that he was on. He was signed to Loud Records. And this is, you know, a common refrain among many artists is, well, you know, at that time, imagine if I had been signed to Def Jam, what my numbers would be like. Now, Raekwon didn't say that to me, but just imagine if Raekwon had the marketing machine of Def Jam right around 1996, 97 behind him. Now, I actually think it would have helped his short-term sales, but hurt his long-term legacy. Raekwon is like Marvin Hagler. He gets respect from the average rap fan, the underground rap fan, the gangster rap fan, and other artists. Had Def Jam did what they do with artists, which is kind of, you know, make you appeal to the women, give you this broad crossover formula, would that have really worked for Raekwon? You tell me. I can't see it. But I felt for him because his album sales were stuck at 900,000. Loud RCA, Steve Rifkin, they had done pretty much all that they could do in terms of what they know how to do. I think if they had released another single, obviously that would have pushed it beyond platinum. But what happens a lot of times with albums are they get stale in the mind of the owners of the label, and it, to them, it's worth more to cut your losses. So the Only Built for Cuba Link's number one album had reached that kind of plateau, point of diminishing returns, where a record label doesn't want to put out more money because they don't think that the sales that they'll produce will justify it. But he's a very serious-minded artist, very sober, level-headed. You don't really... This whole thing with Joe Buttons, to me, is out of character if the way it's being described is true. I really don't have an interest in it either way. But Raekwon was, for the most part, strictly focused on his career, making the arts, slang, coming up with new words, and maintaining his realness. However, I may mention something a little later about his desire or the pressure put on him to move away from making lyrics, rap songs that were heavily influenced by drug culture. Speaking of that, let's get into the song called Pyrex Vision off of Only Built for Cuba Link 2. Pyrex Vision, listen up. Evidently, the no drug raps embargo did not last long.
Pyrex is bubbling, the stove is broke. Use the flame from the oven, from his dozen. About to hit the streets, they buzzing. Break it down, yo. Shop it like he raided your luggage. Major yellow, the pot struggling. Trying to form a rock up and double it. And call up my cousin, what up, beloved? Stir it, tilt it, and swirl it, spitting it. Plus, put a little bit of milk in it. Fiends love it. Sat back, confident in comfort. The light blew out. All I see is all white stuff. Suds in it. 400 razors in a bucket. 70 plates, we thinking 10 millimeter. This song, get the bacon soda, dump it. Hummin, to get 80 more, get it jumping. Live by the cold and we thumping. It's all in the eyes of the hungry. It's all for the wise and the humbly. The rise came upon me.
Pyrex Vision. This one is called Cold Outside. Ghostface is on this as well. By the way, Ghost, excellent on this album. Not enough for him, in my view. Only Built for Cuba Link 2, Cedric Muhammad.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.